This podcast is brought to you by KVH Industries, which creates and delivers the innovations that enable our mobile world. A global leader in mobile connectivity, KVH's groundbreaking, award-winning solutions enable people on leisure boats, yachts, and commercial vessels to stay connected to business, family, and friends using innovative hybrid communications and content. Check out KVH online at kvh.com, at Facebook at KVH Yachting and Boating, on Instagram at KVH Yachting, and also visit KVH Yachting and Boating on LinkedIn. On with the show. Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Caroline White. Hey Caroline.
Hello Stuart.
How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. Before we begin, I just wanted to flag, occasionally we have job openings at Boat International and we've got another corker for you. So it's for an events manager. So our events team has grown from about three people during the pandemic. There's a new one every week, it seems. But now we are recruiting again for an events manager to join a very, very dynamic and growing team. Loads of exciting events this year. I think at the last count, we were delivering 39 or something that. It's almost an event a week. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So if you have events experience and want to join in the fun, just drop us an email. Our contact is podcast@boatinternationalmedia.com, and we will send all your details to Claire Jempson, the big events boss. Talking of events, though, Caroline, something rather big happening this weekend.
Is there? Perhaps you could tell us a little more about it.
I'd be happy to. The World Superyacht Awards have come around again. So in a few days, well, some of the team are there already. We're recording this on Tuesday. But I'll be flying out on Thursday. When are you going?
I'm going on Thursday as well.
Okay. Yeah. So over 3 days in the incredible city of Istanbul, we will be celebrating the very best superyacht delivered in 2022. So these are, as I love telling everyone until I'm blue in the face, the only peer-judged awards in the industry. So Boat International as a company, or me, or anyone in the firm, has absolutely no say in the outcome. All the winners are chosen by a panel of superyacht owners, current and former superyacht owners. The judging took place a little earlier this year in Bermuda, and the results will be revealed this weekend. Some amazing boats in contention for one of the famous Neptune trophies. Some of them are 71-meter Fedship Juice, 75-meter Kensho, 60-meter Come Together, 44.27-meter Ace, 32.65-meter Lady Fleur, to name a few. So there are 51 nominees in total battling it out. We also have, of course, the Legacy Award, which we give each year to a superyacht owner that's contributed a lot to the industry and also has interest in philanthropy and has obviously made a great success in business. And the Voyagers Award, which goes to a yacht that's done a really cool, inspiring journey. Which are your favourites?
Well, it's not very original, I'm afraid, because everybody knows this yacht by now, but Kensho is really spectacular. She's a 75-meter Admiral, but her size is probably the least noteworthy thing about her, which says something. So aside from her beautiful kind of flowing lines and blue-green paint job, her owner relentlessly questioned the status quo when he was leading the design process. And that has led to some really clever design decisions, not least fitting all the technical spaces onto the tank deck, which frees up accommodation space. So some of it quite simple, but quite logical, and some of it more technical. So a good one to learn more about, which actually you can do on our website, because we ran a beautiful big feature on this yacht. And how about you, Stu? What's your favourite?
My favourites are always dictated by the owners I like the most.
And, you should not admit that.
And there's some, there's some brilliant boats owned by some brilliant owners who I know in the competition. Athos, obviously. Marala, Ascari, the Horizon, Botti, the Moonen, Never Say Never Again, Unknowns, owned by The footballer. Oh, it's killing me.
Footballer? British footballer?
No. What's his name? Zlatan. Zlatan. Oh. Ibrahimovic.
Okay.
Zlatan's not coming to the World Super Yacht Awards.
So sad.
Very sadly. And Kensho, obviously. I got to know the owner of Kensho a bit over the last year or so. So, you know, I'm always always rooting for the people I know. But no, look, I can't really comment because I know the winners. So
yeah. Okay. So Morala, I don't know the owner. And I think that's a pretty spectacular one as well. Really interesting project. So yeah, that would be my second pick, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely stunning boat. And some of those are featured on the cover of Boat International. Obviously, Morala was a cover boat not too long ago. Kensho's been a cover boat. Come Together's been a cover boat, the 60-meter Amels. So she's in contention. And we will also, I am very pleased to report, be raising money for victims of the devastating earthquakes which struck Turkey and Syria early this year. So we've teamed up with a local aid agency and we'll be hosting a charity raffle on the Saturday evening. That's the night of the gala ceremony. So hopefully we'll raise tons of money for this very, very good cause. We've got some great prizes up for grabs. The bespoke jacket or blazer from Henry Poole of London, private jet flights to Nice and back, a shooting day at Salperton Park Estate, a very famous shooting ground with one of our judges, a six-night stay at the amazing new Secrets Tulum Resort. Unfortunately, Boat International staff
Damn
are
it.
Not allowed to buy raffle tickets.
Yeah,
that is probably the top of my list. So we've got 10 prizes in total to give away, and they are each hugely valuable. So fingers crossed, our audience on Friday and Saturday night dig deep, and so we can raise as much money as possible. And then it all wraps up. It's always a bit of a whirlwind, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And for me, after that, the road trip continues. I fly to Finland next Tuesday to go and see Baltic and Swan. And then I'm headed down to the Cannes Film Festival for the first time ever. So I've got no idea what to expect.
Incredible. What are you doing at the Cannes Film Festival?
I'm seeing a new yacht brand's launching down there. So I'm going to go say hello to them.
Great. Very glamorous.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be good. I'm looking forward to it. While we're talking Turkey, no pun intended, we received some pretty distressing images last night. So as I mentioned, we're recording this on Tuesday. And the images showed a fire, a pretty devastating one, at the Daman shipyard in Antalya in Turkey. So the yard released a short statement this morning, which reads simply, on 15th of May 2023, a substantial fire broke out at the Daman building hall in Antalya, Turkey. All those on the site were evacuated safely and no casualties have been reported. Thanks to the efforts of the Turkish emergency services, the fire was dealt with quickly. The Daman building hall suffered a large amount of damage, but did not contain any of the Daman yachting projects currently in build. These projects remain unaffected. While all of our clients associated with the Antalya facility have been informed of the incident, our priorities lie in supporting and caring for our colleagues in Antalya. So it's always, you know, it's never great to see a fire like this. And it brings back kind of haunting memories of that massive Lursan fire back in 2018.
Absolutely.
That happened just before the Monaco Yacht Show. I know everyone turned up to the show looking a bit shell-shocked. One of the biggest, might even be the biggest insurance claim in maritime history.
Wow.
I better Google that hastily because I'm not sure if that's true or not. But I heard that somewhere. You know, fortunately, no casualties, which is always a blessing.
Exactly. And good also as a secondary consideration that no yachts were involved, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. So that story, the team have done a story on that. So it's up on the website now, as ever. We'll include a link. From Turkey to London.
Yeah, so more slightly contentious news. The owner of Fee, the 58-metre Royal Houseman, has reportedly threatened to sue the British government for detaining the yacht illegally. So as you may remember, there was a rather cringy TikTok video in March of the British Transport Secretary, Grant Shapps.
The then Transport Secretary.
Sorry, then, yeah.
He's moved about three departments since then, I think.
It's really hard to keep track.
Yeah.
Standing on the dock next to the yacht in Canary Wharf, saying he was that the yacht was an icon of Russia's power and wealth, and that she was being arrested as a stark warning to Putin and his cronies. And an article in the Times about this this latest news quotes the captain, Guy Booth, as saying it was nothing but a publicity stunt, and it certainly did look that way at the time. He said that Shapps was parading up and down the quay for the cameras like a big game hunter posing with a dead rhino. That was brilliant, brilliant way of describing
it. Great quote.
The owner has denied having any links to Putin, and he hasn't been subjected to any sanctions. So he's going to challenge the detention in the High Court. So what does that mean if he wins? Well, apart from being very embarrassing for the government, as the Times points out, it rather undermines the UK's approach to Russian sanctions, and it could leave UK taxpayers with a bill running into hundreds of thousands of pounds for costs and loss of charter earnings incurred by the owner and the crew, all of whom are British, as it happens. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
So I was pretty shocked at the time when I saw this story and I saw Fee being detained, because Grant Shapps was performing. It seemed at the time like all these other European jurisdictions were seizing super yachts. So Grant Shapps, as then Transport Secretary, wanted his name in the paper beside a super yacht as well, seizing it, which he duly got. But the owner is not sanctioned, doesn't appear on any sanctions list. And meanwhile, the EU authorities, he's got other boats which cruise happily in Mediterranean waters. He's been cleared as kind of fine by all these other European authorities. That didn't stop Mr. Shapps and his performance. And now it's the worst of all worlds, because the boat's been locked up in Canary Wharf for over a year. And now the British taxpayer looks like we'll be all funding the settlement, which is, you know, crap, isn't it?
Oh, it's infuriating.
It's utterly infuriating.
Yeah.
The boat should never have been arrested. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
It was an absolute publicity stunt. And now we've got to foot the bill for it. I'm no fan of Grant Shapps. I hope that's...
No.
I don't think that's even a subtext. I think the decision was a bad one, and now looks like it's going to bite us all in the arse. But I suppose from the owner and the guy, the captain's point of view and the crew's point of view, hopefully they'll soon be released and be free to get about their lives and their jobs. Again, we've covered that in our Boat Pro Business channel, so we'll put a link to that. It's a fascinating story and one that's going to run and run. And we'll, as it works its way through the courts, we'll keep you all updated with everything as it happens. I realise actually last week we neglected to mention that the latest issue of the magazine, the June issue of Boat International, and the June issue of Boat International US edition, which is soon to be out, are out there in the world. So the cover of the US edition is the new Custom Line 140, while in the international edition it's Athos, the amazing 63-meter sailing yacht recently refitted by Royal Housman, which I mentioned earlier because it's in contention for a World Superyacht Award. And it gives me a chance to show off too, because I sailed on her in St. Barts.
I feel like you said that before on the podcast too.
Any opportunity to show off. So both magazines have an oceans and sustainability focus and reveal this year's winners of our Ocean Awards. So we set these awards up about 8 years ago to celebrate the people and projects going to extraordinary lengths to secure the health of our oceans. So we had 94 nominations. I think that was the most ever this year. 94 wow. Nominations. And the range of the nominations is just incredible. So the judging team, which is about six or seven strong, come from sustainability worlds, shipyard worlds, and we partner with the Blue Marine Foundation to run it. And they whittle those 94 down to a shortlist, and then they vote again. And there's some really, really worthy winners. My favorite each year is the Local Hero Award, which celebrates, you know, a really hyper-local activity to improve ocean health in a particular place. So this year, it went to a collective of 18 women in Yucatan, Mexico, who have been restoring the mangrove forest there. So why are mangroves important? I learned because I read the feature. Mm. They protect coastal erosion and prevent sediment from damaging nearby coral reefs and seagrass meadows. And seagrass, obviously, hugely important, as are coral reefs. Now, the group who call themselves Las Chalimeras dig channels to reconnect the mangroves to the sea and have so far reforested 50 hectares of mangrove. And the results speak for themselves. They're already seeing a greater range of biodiversity in the area. the return of birds like kingfishers, along with fish and crocodiles coming back. So there's also awards for sustainable fishing innovation, which reduces the need to dredge when fishing for scallops, because that's the traditional way of bringing scallops off the seabed. You just run these terrifying dredges along the seafloor that damage everything in their path. And it turns out these guys figured out all you need to do is drop a lobster pot down there with a kind of an LED light on, and the scallops kind of swim into the traps. Everyone loves a scallop.
Poor
scallops, but they willingly swim towards the light.
Wow.
And straight into their pots, and then into our pots.
Yeah.
So there's no need to drag the seabed, tearing everything up, which
How
is great.
Clever.
Yeah, really clever. Really simple innovation, but, you know, transformative. And there's lots of other awards too. So please do check that out. And also the winners are online as well. But there's tons of stuff in these issues, including a lengthy feature on cruising the Amazon River, how to do it, when to do it, and what you'll see when you do it.
Yeah, you finally got your rivers feature. Stuart has three obsessions that I can recall off the top of my head. One is rivers. One is catamarans. We did a whole catamaran special, so we got that. And then the other one's maps. Have we actually done anything on maps?
Well, I can't stand it when I'm reading a travel feature.
Yeah.
And there's just the words and lovely pictures, but I can't relate it to a map. It really, really bugs me. So there's a great big double page spread kind of map, illustrated map at the front of the Amazon feature, which made me very happy. So I remember mentioning, I mentioned rivers a few years ago. We must do something on rivers. And everyone's kind of rolled their eyes.
And eventually, you've just beaten us down.
And eventually I kind of got, there was a kind of halfway house rivers feature, kind of an apologetic shut Stew up rivers feature that we Sophia ran in the travel section. But I've been beating the drum ever since. And I finally got my big whopping Amazon feature. And it's brilliant.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. It's nice when the editor-in-chief finally gets his way.
So meanwhile, in business news, numbers are in from some of the big Italian yards on their Q1 performance. These two companies have to declare their numbers because they're publicly listed. One of them is San Lorenzo, which has revealed that they have a gross order backlog equal to 1.24 billion as of the 31st of March this year. The total value represents an increase of 5.2% compared to the same period in 2022, with 92% already sold to end clients and deliveries extending until 2026, owing to a significant collection of orders in the last 2 years. The other company is the Ferretti Group, which is a group of yards, of course, and that has recorded a strong order intake and top-line growth for the first quarter of this year. The company's total order backlog is now 1.5 billion euros. According to the Ferretti Group, strong demand from international markets drove an overall increase in the yard's total, which grew 15.4% when compared to the last quarter that ended on the 31st of December last year. The Forli-based yard acquired 307.5 million euros in orders over the first 3 months of 2023.
Wow, phenomenal performance, really.
Yeah.
So San Lorenzo order book valued at 1.24 billion euros. Ferretti Group's at 1.5 billion euros as of the 31st of March this year. So no signs of slowing down, really. I mean, the order book, we know the order book's at a record high. And these early numbers suggest that the strong new build performance continues in the face of a slowing brokerage market. Hmm. That actually leads us neatly on to our brokerage picks. So I've gone Italian in honor of the great performance of the order book in Italy, but a different yard. I've gone Benetti. So my brokerage pick is Koju, the 37-meter Moto Panfilo model. It's been listed by Matthew Stone at IYC. So I love this boat for a number of reasons. I'm a huge fan of her interior design, her interior designers, Lazzarini and Pickering. So Carl Pickering, one half of that duo, is a real gent. He's an Aussie and spoke at the 2022 Superyacht Design Festival. I'm also a fan of her exterior designer, Francesco Strulia, who has managed to add some real classical elegance to a modern yacht and draw a thread from the classic Bonettis of the 60s and 70s to the present day. Inside, meanwhile, she's all cool, calm elegance with the novel, he's got these novel ribs running through the main saloon and dining area that represent whale bones.
Wow.
Got massive windows too. She's super, super bright, really welcoming interior. I was a big fan. And there's also a really cool crow's nest feature, an intimate kind of perch right above the sun deck, which is, there's only space, there's a sunbed and a space for a couple of people, but you can imagine just lying there as the sun's setting.
Oh, wow.
With a glass. It looks really, really nice. The boat also picked up a World Superyacht Award last year, winning its category and taking home a Neptune. But I'm mostly a fan of this boat because when I saw her for the first time and had a look around her at the Cannes Yachting Festival in 2021, it wasn't long after I'd snapped my Achilles tendon playing football against much younger people. So I was clomping around in this enormous plastic boot, and Bonetti were very understanding and nice as I stomped through their brand new boat, albeit with this kind of awkward looking sock on the end of my big plastic boot.
To protect the teak.
Yeah.
That's considerate.
I thought they were going to ban me. that boot is not coming on this brand new boat. But they were very nice about it. Oh, so thank you, Bonetti, for being nice to me. Koju is lying in Cannes currently. She is asking $18.995 million.
Well, you nicked my pick. That was going to be my pick.
Were you really going to go for
it? I love that boat. She's got kind of slightly retro looking, yeah, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Retro.
Really, really love that boat. So I've decided to go for a really big boat to compete with your choice. And that is the 91-meter Moonlight 2, which is newly listed for sale with Fraser. She was built in Greece by Neorion and delivered in 2005. The USP of this boat is really her charter potential. So she was originally commissioned as the 85-meter Alicia by Andreas Liveras, who is an owner renowned in the industry as a pioneer in the charter arena. And he introduced large spars, high-capacity vessels to the market, that sort of thing. She accommodates a party of 36 guests in 18 cabins and offers more than 2,400 square meters of living space to enjoy. She's just bright and colorful and looks super fun. She's got party written all over her. She's lying in Dubai and asking €85 million.
So 37-meter Koju or 91-meter Moonlight 2.
I mean, yeah, I'm giving you two very different boats.
Yeah. 91's too big. You've got a nice 37-meter.
Too big. Where do you think you work?
Quite. Right, let's talk through some headlines. So I'll kick us off. The first news item is that 67.4 meter FedShip Superyacht Project 823 has been spotted in the North Sea, putting her performance to the test. The yacht was moved out of the construction shed at the yard's Karg site in March 2023, following her technical launch in January. She'll be handed over to her experienced owner later this year. FedShip has called the exterior bold, with a muscular reverse shear to the bow and chiseled contours. Had the yard collaborated with Azure Naval Architects to engineer the hull. Meanwhile, the interior has a family-focused layout with a simple yet sophisticated theme that employs natural tones, light wood veneers, and organic forms. Like the sound of that? The result is informal yet welcoming. Well, that's bang on trend. It's all about informality and comfort, isn't it? Accommodation is for 10 guests in 5 cabins, including a main deck owner's suite, a VIP cabin on the bridge deck, and 3 lower deck cabins.
Well, meanwhile, over in Italy, CRN, a brand of the Ferretti Group, has issued a construction update on its 67-metre project Marinello, which is due for delivery in 2024. The hull of the steel and aluminium yacht has been transported to the Ferretti Group yard in Ancona for installation of her interior. Also known as Project 143, Project Marinello features an exterior by Nuvolari Leonard, with spaces for long lines of windows seen along the unfinished hull. Project Marinello joins two other full custom CRN yachts currently in build at the Ancona facility, the 85-meter CRN 144 and 70-meter CRN 145. In addition, the 80,000 square meter yard houses an upcoming custom line Navetta 50, hulls 3 and 4 in Pershing's 140 series, and two Riva superyacht projects in excess of 50 meters. So they are keeping rather busy.
They are indeed. Last up, we have the news that a new shipyard called Liefa Yachts has commenced, or Liefa Yachts. Liefa, what are we going for?
Liefa,
okay.
Like, oh, maybe Leffa. Like a leopard. Leffa.
Okay. One of those, take your pick.
Take your pick, yeah.
A new shipyard called Liefa Yachts has commenced operation in Tolkamer in the Netherlands. The Dutch yard is introducing three new custom expedition yachts to the market, including a 60.5-meter, which has been sold to a client and is due to reach its first major construction milestone today. That's the 15th of May, with a keel laying ceremony, or yesterday, rather, because today's the 16th of May. The project is codenamed Lazarus and is scheduled for delivery in October 2025. Interior and exterior design comes from the boards of Core D Rover, with naval architecture by 07 Designers and hull optimization by Van Usen and Naval Architects. The 1,710 gross ton Explorer will have a 40-day autonomy and will be Polar 1C classed, allowing it to cruise in some of the more high latitude regions of the planet. Tender capacity will be for two 9.5-meter tenders, and the yacht will be equipped for helicopter operations. Special features include a diving room, a mud room, and a 200-square-meter beach club. A wellness room complete with a sauna and gym round off her extensive list of amenities. Accommodation is for 14 guests and 17 crew.
Sounds intriguing.
Yeah. And, you know, you often hear about new shipyards starting with concepts, but this is a new shipyard starting with a sold project.
And they've got Core D Rover and Van Usen involved, so.
Proper people.
Yeah.
Righty, that brings us to data, which, as ever, is brought to you by Boat Pro, the superyacht industry's leading and award-winning market intelligence service. This week, in light of the sale of the 115-meter Lursen Arpo, which we mentioned on the podcast last week, we thought we'd run down the top five biggest brokerage sales completed so far in 2023. In at number five, I feel like, who was the guy who used to do Top of the Pops a lot?
I don't know. I'm too young. That's not true, sadly.
In at five is 82-meter Serafsa, now renamed Pure. So she was sold by Burgess in April and was asking 65 million euros. The 3,200 gross ton yacht was delivered by Devonport in 2008. For a member of the Saudi royal family.
Yeah, she looks very classic inside this yacht, but she was ahead of her time in lots of ways compared to yachts of her day. So she has a 3,200 GT volume, which is way bigger than yachts of a similar length back then. She's also got a two-story owner's apartment, and she even has an explosion-proof lazarette built to carry a Mini Moke car.
An explosion-proof. Lazarette.
I don't know if you're expecting the Mini Moke to explode or something to explode near the Mini Moke.
I think all Mini Mokes are electrified. I think that they're kind of come back, Mini Mokes, I think. They're all electric now, I think.
Okay.
Maybe the old ones had a habit of exploding.
We're going to get sued.
Love a Moke. I take it all back. In at four is 72-meter Solo, delivered by Tankoa in 2018. And still the flagship of that shipyard. She was asking 66 million euros, and Edmiston sold her in an in-house deal. We staged an owner's club function, actually, on board Tankoa, on board Solo, rather, back at her Monaco Yacht Show debut in 2018.
So Rena gave Solo a green plus platinum notation, which is its highest level of environmental certification. Interestingly, the build owner worked out that the diesel electric propulsion option actually wasn't the greenest option given his operational profile, but the whole yacht is very carefully planned to reduce consumption in slightly unusual ways and make sure that they clean what they do put out with features like a selective catalytic reduction system.
In third place is 74-meter Lady Georgia, now known as Andrea. So she's a CRN and was another Edmiston deal. So she started life as Cloud Nine and was sold in 2019 and renamed Odyssey, and then sold again in 2020 and renamed Lady Georgia. So she's now changed hands a further time and is now called Andrea.
So Lady Georgia, then Cloud Nine, was built with an emphasis on family relaxation. So she's got some lovely features, including a 10,000 litre spa pool with a glass bottom and a really huge beach club with a vast fold-out platform to extend it. Really does look like a lovely boat to while away the hours on.
And she was at the Monaco Yacht Show a few years ago as well, when she was Cloud Nine. I remember I had a good look around her. A huge volume boat. I think it was the first of those 74-metre CRNs. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a beauty.
In at two, we have 68.2-metre Abeking & Rasmussen Soaring, now known as Starlust, since her sale this year. So she changed hands in March and was asking 88 million euros. Ocean Independence was responsible for that sale. And at the top spot is, of course, Arpo, the 115-metre Lursen, which has just been sold by Maran Yacht and Ship. So she was asking 330 million euros. She's now known as Lady Georgia. And according to our fleet tracking service on Boat Pro, the new Lady Georgia is steaming towards Gibraltar as I speak. She set off from Palm Beach at the start of May and will be hitting the Med very soon. So we look forward to seeing her around our shores in the not-too-distant future. And that's our top five. We actually have top 10 online, but we thought we'd be really testing your patience if we did all 10. But we'll post a link so you can read about all of the 10 of those, the biggest brokerage deals so far in 2023 for yourself at your leisure. And that brings us to a close. Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you, Steve.
This episode of Boat Briefing was mixed and produced by Naomi Wilson and or Adam Geist, whichever one gets to it first, is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we will see you next time with the results from the 2023 World Superyacht Awards. Can't wait. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.